Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on a plan for the future when we come back. You know, if you've got a lot in the city, 50 by 100 feet, and if your house measures about 2,000 square feet, then you've got space for six raised beds that contain about 2,400 square feet. It's called French intensive culture, and 2,400 square feet is enough space to grow all of the food that a family of five or six will eat in one entire year. And you can do it in the middle of the city just as easily as you can out in the country. The idea that you're trapped in the city and you can't provide for yourself and your family because of a space limitation is a fiction. You don't need extra cash to buy tractors and plows and harrows. A shovel, a rake, and a hoe is more in line with what you need for an urban French intensive culture farm. We don't need acres, combines, or price supports. We need pruners, newspaper for mulch, and open pollinated seed. Now, if you've got 2,400 square feet or a backyard big enough for a decent garden, you can feed your whole family on your own land. And we have a seed package which is designed to answer your questions with the most economical and practical solutions to your long-term food needs. It has space-saving vegetables, so you need less land, less fertilizer, less water, less mulch, and less work. It's been designed with immediate food availability, only 28 days from seed to salad. And it has flowers to attract wild pollinators because of the loss of our honeybee population to chemical sprays and disease. And it's designed with a long harvest season to allow for fresh vegetables longer and to reduce stress by not making you try to store everything all at once. And you don't need any specialized tools. A rake, a hoe, and a shovel, plus a supply of newspaper for mulch is enough to plant and raise every seed in the package. And a pair of clippers and a paring knife is all you need to harvest it. Now, the package is designed with all non-hybrid, non-genetically modified seeds, and it can feed your family of five or six forever if you're sensible and save your seeds. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? You know, that's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about a plan for the future, and the future is here today. Since the great crisis, they call it the credit crisis that has descended upon the world, which I pointed out to you last time, wasn't a surprise. We all knew it was coming. From the greatest of us to the least of us, we said it. We all knew deep down in our hearts, this can't go on this way forever. We've known that it was unsustainable. Now, the reason that it's unsustainable is because it violates the Ten Commandment model, the economic model set down by our Creator at Mount Sinai. He said, now, you practice these 15 economic laws, and you can have prosperity forever. But if you violate one or more of these laws, then you're going to have problems. And sure enough, we violated those laws, and now we've got problems. So in my plan for the future, I suggest that we go back to the Ten Commandment model, which is the model that our founding fathers set up in 1787 in our Constitution. That's right, the Ten Commandment model, based upon just weights and balances, gold and silver coin. And if you do that, it's the first step in the right direction. Second, get off of interest and usury and debt. Interest, usury, and debt. So we need to get you out of debt, get you off of usury and interest, get you off the credit cards, get you on a cash-only basis using gold and silver coin as the basis of your economic foundation. There's a little more to it than that. A little more to it than that. But I wanted to point out to you, and I did last time, in Matthew 24, the Messiah said, you know, this is the program, this is the events, or these are the events that you need to be looking for, leading up to this thing called the Great Tribulation. So the economic collapse of the world's economy is setting the stage for World War III. It always has in the past. There's any reason to believe it isn't going to happen in the future. Now, I'm not especially looking forward to a thermonuclear bomb war, but, you know, life is life, and that's what's coming, so we might as well get ready for it. And I pointed out to you last time, you know, a plan for the future includes getting the hell out of the target zone, because there's four big events coming: war, famine, disease, and deception. The deception's already upon us. That's that big white horse of Revelation 6, deception. Now, we got three more big problems coming up. We have a famine coming on, a great big famine. I mean, humongous. It's going to take It's going to take 1/4 of the people on planet Earth dead from famine. And the seeds of it are already planted. And so I thought, let's take a look at famine, war, and disease, along with this thing of deception, which we looked at last time, and plug that into the future. And what are we going to do to solve that problem? I'm not going to change the president of the United States. He's already been elected. He's a Marxist. He's a communist, which isn't too surprising. The people of America are Marxists. They're communists. How do I know that? Because the people of America practice all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. If you think that's a surprise, you people in Japan, Korea, Brazil, and Russia all practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Let's test it and see. Number one, first olive out of the jar. Do you send your children to public school, government-sponsored school? If you do, that's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, so you're a 10% communist. Number two, do you have a central bank in your country? Central bank, like the Federal Reserve Bank or the Bank of England? Okay. Well, then you're practicing the 5th plank to the Communist Manifesto. That makes you a 20% communist. How about an income tax? Have you got an income tax in your country? That's the 2nd plank to the manifesto. That makes you a 30% communist. Now, let's see. Do you have a social security system? In this country, we call it Social Security. In Canada, they got another name for it. And on it goes. If you do, then you're a 40% communist. That's the 8th plank to the manifesto. Do you have an inheritance tax in your country? Because if you do, that's the 4th plank to the Communist Manifesto. That makes you a 50% communist. All right. Now, whether you're a half a communist or you're a whole communist, communism is the part and parcel with humankind. It's what the Chinese, the Russians, the Americans, the Canadians, the Australians, and New Zealanders are all practicing right now, in contradistinction to the 10 commandments, which is what we all practiced when we had gold and silver coin. And when we educated our children at home, before we had these central banks issuing this fiat currency and social security, which gave us limited liability for our old age and retirement. Come on, guys, let's wake up. Smell the coffee here. Now, if you've got a problem today with the economy, then your problem with the economy is caused by the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. If, on the other hand, you're a banker, a big business executive, or you're a government employee, inflation and the Communist Manifesto are your friends. That's where you make all of your money. That's why you promote it. That's why it's so good for you. On the backs, of course, of all the rest of us taxpayers out here that have to support all of you ticks and fleas, all of you parasites. All right, now with that much out of the way, Jesus had an observation, and he said in Matthew 4, verse 4, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's quite a statement. Contrary to popular belief that the Old Testament is abolished and done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus. Jesus said, think not that I have come to destroy the law, which is precisely what every religious person and non-religious person believes in the world today, that Jesus came to destroy the law and to make life a real bowl of cherries down at Flo's whorehouse. No, I'm sorry to be a bearer of bad tidings. That's not what he came for. That's not what he said. That's not what he did. And he told you plainly. And that's why I said I think it's time to wake up and smoke coffee. The bad results that we're getting in our economy, the threats that we're now beginning to see that deal with war, famine, and disease, comes from the deception from our public schools practicing that 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. So just taking these one at a time and taking Jesus at his word, you know, just assuming that the guy knew what he was talking about and he told you the straight skinny, he said, now, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, he cited from the Old Testament, in the New Testament, 435 times. Write that down, 435. Put that on your page. 435 times in the New Testament, Jesus, or the other writers, in this case Jesus, who gave the information to Paul who wrote it down, the author of the New Testament, Jesus, 435 times cited the Old Testament. Now, I looked in my Bible, and I have 339 pages in the New Testament and 1,109 pages in the Old. So if you take 339 pages in the New Testament and you divide that into 435 direct quotations from the Old Testament, that's 1.3 citations from the Old Testament that are repeated in the New Testament, coupled with his statement that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The next time somebody tells you that the Old Testament has been abolished and done away with and superseded by the New, look him in the eyeball and say, you are a liar. And it's worse than that. You're not only a liar, you are a damn liar. That's the way Mark Twain put it. He said, there are liars, and there are damn liars, and the preachers are the damn liars. First and foremost of the liars in society are the damn preachers. Now, if you want to get that straight from the horse's mouth, write this down. You go to Luke 11, verses 37 through 54. Get that down. Luke 11, 37 through 54. And Jesus will tell you from his own lips, you know, you could say, watch my lips. That's what Jesus had to say about preachers and lawyers. Preachers and lawyers. Jesus never had a good word for a preacher, a lawyer, or a banker. All right, now that's the tip of the iceberg. Now let's go take a look here at the Old Testament, which is what Jesus told us to do. And we'll start off here in Leviticus chapter 26. Write these two chapters down now, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy. I'm going to write it down right here. I'm just doing it right on my notepad. D-E-U-T, Deuteronomy 28. Two whole chapters there. And they dovetail with this Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. So if you want to know where Jesus got his information in Matthew 24, he got it from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. He was the author of the entire scripture. So next time somebody says, well, the Bible was written by all these old Jewish guys, and they all had long hair and beards, and they were kind of dumb and ignorant, that guy is a liar, probably a damn liar. The Bible was not written by any man. It was written by God himself. Moses was a secretary. The Apostle Paul was a secretary. Nothing more. Nothing less. And they wrote down what they were told to write. Nothing more, nothing less. The scriptures have no private interpretation, God tells us, and that he wrote it all, every word. In fact, he's got something to say to all you people out there that want to change his word. Do you want to put words in God's mouth? You know, you gotta think about this. Let me put my ribbon in here. It's over here in the very last chapter of Revelation. When he gets all through writing this book here, which we call Holy Writ, or the Holy Bible, or the scripture, and so on. He had this to say, last chapter, chapter 22. He said, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now that he that testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, that's a promise from the creator of the universe. You add one word to what I've told you, or you take one word away, then here's what I'm going to do to you. So I just thought I'd point that out to you. So that's why I'm kind of adamant when I say, you know, we ought to just sit down, shut up, fold our hands, and do what we're told for a change. You know, it'll probably work out better. Couldn't work out any worse. We're already in a jam. This economic collapse that's going on worldwide now is a big, bad jam. And all of us are in it, whether we like it or not. Now, what we make out of it is going to be another story. Now, in Leviticus chapter 26, the first 13 verses give us some good news. This is what we all want to hear. Now, listen to this. Here's God himself. He says, you shall make you no idols nor graven images, and neither shall you rear up a standing image, and neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, because I'm the eternal your God. Now, the Washington Monument and the Statue of Liberty are a couple of examples, including totem poles in your public parks in Seattle, of images that you've reared up to worship, that is, to obey, to give reverence to in your land. And we were told, don't do that. Verse 2, he says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary because I'm the eternal. So we keep Christmas, Easter, and New Year's and Sunday, but we will not keep the Sabbath, and we will not practice the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day, or the Day of Atonement. And we were told, don't do that. I know, you know, you got your choices to make in life, and you got your needs. You've made your choice. Now, there's a result that comes from it. Now, remember, I'm suggesting that we go back to the Ten Commandment model. I'm suggesting we go back and obey God and keep his commandments. Now, in verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes, and if you keep my commandments and do them. All right, now, there's your big if. And as they say in metropolitan life, you know, the ifs in life. If you keep my commandments and do my statutes, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. Boys and girls, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita, Hurricane Ike are not rain in due season. You follow that? The drought that you're experiencing out in the West for the last 10 years is not rain in due season. So the first thing he says to you, now if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I'll give you rain in due season, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. The opposite to that is, if you don't keep my commandments and don't follow my statutes, I'm going to give you hurricanes, tornadoes, and drought. And that's what we're getting. Now that tells you something, doesn't it? Verse 5, he says, your threshing shall reach to the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and you shall dwell in your land safely. You'll have more food than you know what to do with. When I was a kid, 57% of the table vegetables of America came out of the Central Valley of California. We were a net exporter of foodstuffs. Today we're a net importer, and 50% of the table vegetables and the foods that you buy in your supermarket today come from outside of our borders. Now that's why I told you the last time, I said, you know, we're being set up for famine. The policies that we're following here are the policies of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in opposition to the 10 Commandments. That's not good, boys and girls. Having 50% of your food imported from Mexico, Guatemala, and China is not good for you, and it's not good for me. It may be good for Walmart, it may be good for international trade and commerce, but it ain't good for you, and it ain't good for me. Verse 6, he says, I'll give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I'll rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. That's not what's happening in Afghanistan today now, is it? Because I will have respect unto you, and I'll make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Covenant. I'll establish my contract with you. And you shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I'll set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I'll walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Eternal your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and you should not, or that you should not be their bondsman. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me, and if you will not do all of these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant, if you violate the terms and conditions of my contract, here's what I'm going to do to you. And that starts now in verse 16. Now, before we get into here's what I'm going to do to you, let's flip over here to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because this is the parallel chapter of the blessings and the curses. Blessings and curses. You know, do this, and here's what you get. I used to have a daddy, and he was just like this God here. He was a hard-nosed kind of a guy. And then he had certain jobs for him. He said, now mow the grass, take out the garbage, make your bed, wash the dishes, and I will give you $2 a week allowance. I will give you 50 cents to go to the movies on Saturday. I will take you hunting on Sunday. And you're just going to love it here. Things are going to be just real great. But he said, now, if you don't mow the grass, and you don't take out the garbage, and you don't make your bed, and you don't wash the dishes, I'm not going to give you your $2. I'm not going to give you your 50 cents. I'm going to whip your ass, and then I'm not going to take you hunting on Sunday. Well, you know, when you're 10, 12 years old, you know, you got to test the old man, find out, is that really true? And so I tested. Sure enough, it came to pass. And I didn't mow the grass, I didn't wash the dishes, I didn't make the bed, and I didn't take out the garbage. And I didn't get my $2, I didn't get my movie money, I didn't get to go hunting, I got my ass whipped. And then I had to spend Saturday and Sunday doing that which I was supposed to be doing Monday through Friday. Now that happened to me a couple, three times. And then I over time, you know, unless you're brain dead, you know, even at 10 or 12 years old, you can figure out, hey, wait a minute. If I do these things, I get these blessings, and if I don't do these things, it hurts real bad. All right, that's all God's doing. This Great Depression, this credit crisis, as they call it on Brian Williams and the NBC News, it's just the old man leaning on you so far. We haven't seen the bad stuff yet. We're getting leaned on. We're starting to get leaned on kind of heavy. Now, if we wake up and smell the coffee here and get busy, we can still save our hind ends from the inevitable collapse that's coming. But if we don't, well, then there's more to come. And so, again, that's why I suggest that we go back here, pay attention to old dad. And this isn't what they're telling you now in church. This isn't what your president's telling you and your bankers and your big businessmen. They're telling you, oh, everything's going to be fine. Just follow us. We're going to print more money. We're going to give you more fiat currency and more interest and more debt to pay. All right, if you want more debt and you want more interest and you want more fiat currency, you got the right program in place. Stick with it. Now, if you want to get the hell out of debt and you want to start making money and you want to prosper, well, then you need to abandon these clowns. These are lying false prophets. They're deceivers. And your president's a lying false prophet and a deceiver. And your preacher is a lying false prophet and a deceiver. Now somebody's going to write me an email and say, well, Gordon, you're a lying false prophet and a deceiver. Hell, I ain't telling you George Gordon's theory. I told you, pay attention now to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Go read it for yourself. Or as they say down at the Blue Room, read them in a week. I think if you'll follow this instruction here in Deuteronomy 28, it'll be good for you. And if you don't follow this instruction, well, I think it's going to be bad for you. Right, let's take a look here at Deuteronomy chapter 28. He starts off, he says, It'll come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. That's a pretty good deal. Now here's a neat little sidelight to this. Let's suppose that all the rest of the Americans don't want to do this, that they want to stick with the program that they're on. Well, fine, let them go their way. But you, personally, just living in Houston, Texas, or Los Angeles, California, or New York, or wherever you live, if you will abandon these false gods, if you will obey God and keep his commandments, then you can have all of these benefits and blessings, just you, just personally, right here in your little town, your neighborhood, your block, and all the rest of the people can reap what they sow. You can have it all by yourself. You don't have to have, we don't have to write letters to our senators and congressmen. I don't have to convince Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi that if they do this, it'll be good for America. I don't give a damn what they do. They can all go to hell in a handbasket for all I care. I'm only concerned about me, my family. How is this going to impact upon me? Now think about that for a second. Remember when your dad told you, make the bed, take out the garbage? What did you care about Ronnie Mitchell or what Ronnie did? I was concerned about what Dad told me. Now, our God told us. It's up to us to do it. Now, if Ronnie obeys his daddy and obeys his mommy, he'll probably get good benefits from the Mitchell family. And if little Georgie Gordon will obey his daddy and his mommy, he'll probably get some neat benefits from his family. And if they violate the laws of their families, they will probably get the curses that go along with it. That's all we're dealing with here. The people of New York are going to get punished, all of them, by themselves. Doesn't affect you if you obey God and keep his commandments. But if you want to follow a multitude to do evil, well, then you're going to get the benefits or you're going to get the curses that come from that conduct. Bottom line, when you go to Flo's Whorehouse, you can expect AIDS, herpes, and VD. Just bet on it. And I've got to give you a mid-course reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries. Now, 120 countries worldwide, daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. I stress adults. Children don't need to apply. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. You can order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse are necessarily going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Just keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour can be, they don't always have to be, but they can be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. You can call us directly at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about a plan for the future. Now, what's coming down around the world is scary. I was talking to the wife the other night, and we were watching NBC News, and Brian Williams had given us the latest bad news concerning the stock market and the meltdown and one thing and another. And she said, you know, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes. I said, you're right. You know, as old as we are, we've never seen anything like this. And the numbers that we're starting to see now rival the Great Depression. See, and you take a look at the commodity price index, dropped by 60% so far. In the Great Depression in 1930, it only dropped 40%. And about half the houses back in the 30s went into foreclosure. I think it was in foreclosure. And now we're down to pushing 40% here. I suspect that we will, that as time progresses along 2009, 10, 11, that as we reach that 36-month plateau, I think that we're probably going to exceed the last Great Depression, probably in just about every category. So, you know, get ready for it because it's coming, like it or lump it. You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Now, in the last Depression, there was a lot of money made. A lot of people came through it just honky-dory. Now, most people were affected adversely by it. Some people were affected positively by it. I want to be one of those that has a positive effect. And the best effect, the best chance you have here is to practice the Ten Commandment model. The Ten Commandment economic model, in contradistinction now to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto model. When I point that out to people, they get kind of upset, you know, maybe. Well, I'm not a communist. Well, what, but Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. So when you send your kid to public school, that looks communist to me. And when you use Federal Reserve notes and fiat currency, that sounds central bankish to me. When you file and pay your income tax, that sounds ten plank to the Communist Manifesto to me. So you know, if you'll know them by their fruits, if you people practice communism, I think you're going to get the results that come from practicing communism. If you like it, stick with it. Bankers, public officials, preachers, lawyers, no, big business, stick with it. It's making you a lot of money. Now, for the rest of us out here, you know that have to pay these bills. You know the bank's just got $700 billion. Guess who's going to get to pay for that, Bob? Come on. You don't see the government sending you a check. And get this, and then when the auto companies came over and said, hey, give us some money, they said, go to hell. Remember? The auto company said, we'd like to get a loan. The banks aren't paying the $700 billion back. That's not a loan. It's a gift. Now, why would you want to give a gift of $700 billion to the bankers that caused this mess, and you wouldn't loan the auto companies $35 billion, and they said, we'll pay it back? I don't know, kids. It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, listen to this. We're on Deuteronomy chapter 28. He says, and all of these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. So if you listen to the Ten Commandment model, here's God himself says, you do what I tell you, and you're going to get your movie money, you're going to get your allowance and get to go hunt, and everything's going to be fine. He says, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal your God shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God giveth you. The Lord will establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Now, I want you to understand this. Pay attention. Listen to this. I didn't write this. This isn't me. I ain't telling you jack squat. All I am is a crummy reporter. But over and over again, he keeps telling you. He says, you follow my commandments, my judgments, and my statutes, and I'm going to give you all these benefits. Now, in a minute, he's going to come back and say, now, if you don't keep my statutes and you don't keep my commandments and my judgments, then here's what I'm going to do to you. It didn't work any different in this case here as it did with my daddy. You know, my daddy said, here's the benefits and here's the curses. And I tested it out, you know, when I was a kid. I found out the blessings were better than the curses. Now, here in America, we pay an income tax of around 43%. The tithe that God requires is 10%. Now, think about it. 10% tithe versus a 43% income tax. And the people of America would rather pay the 43% income tax than the 10% tithe to God. Now, you go figure. But I'm just reporting, I'm telling you. And we had an opportunity in 1992, 96, and 2008 to overturn the income tax. We actually had presidential candidates that stood up in front of us on national television and said, vote for me, and I'm going to do away with the Federal Reserve and the income tax. And do you know what we Americans did? Three times out of three. We said, to hell with you, we want the income tax, and we want Social Security, and we voted for it three times. All right. Now, the income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. And the Federal Reserve is the fifth plank. So we Americans, in three elections, 92, 96, and 08, voted for the central bank and the income tax. That's 20% of the Communist Manifesto, three times, you know, in just the last, you know, few years. Well, okay, that kind of tells you what Americans are. We prefer communism to the Ten Commandments. Now, I had a little bit more to say here. He said, now, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Eternal shall make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, gives you. Verse 12, he says, the Eternal shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give you rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And then you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Now, you know, we Americans used to do that. We used to lend to many nations, and we didn't borrow. We were the world's number one creditor nation. Today, we are the world's number one debtor nation. Our money is worthless. Just trash. We've lost 98% of the purchasing power of the dollar between 1930 and 2007. 98%. Boys and girls, we're only fighting over the last 2 cents, which I say isn't worth fighting over. Verse 13, he says, the Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail. Then you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. There's the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28. Now Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 come out and they say, hey, listen, do this, and I'm going to give you all these neat blessings, and you're going to love it. Now we rejected that, and we have over the last 200 years. We followed that law, you know, pretty well, from 1787 to about 1900. And then about 1900, we got kind of uppity. And by 1913, we adopted the central bank. And then by 1933, we adopted communism. And so today, Americans, all of us, you know, we practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto with gusto. Or as they say, you know, the Kennedys would say, with vigor. With vigor, we practice communism. Well, okay. No, let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, the American people have decided that they want a communist for president. So we voted in Barack Obama. Well, okay, I can understand that. A nation of 300 million communists would logically want to elect one of their kind to be their leader. And that's what we did here in this country. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I think that's going to come to a no good end. The people of America said, we want a change. Well, okay, you're going to get a change, all right. I don't think it's going to be as positive as you think it is, but let's sit back and watch and see how this comes out. Now, for the rest of us, I said, you know, I think we ought to start planning for the future. If you're like me and you don't think this thing's going to work out too well, then we need to do something different than the rest of the average Joe Sixpacks out here. Now, here's where we get down to the nitty-gritty. Here's where, starting in verse 15, it'll come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. All of these curses. Now, I'm going to go through some of these curses over here just to kind of give you the flavor of it. You can read this for yourself. I'm not going to give you a reading lesson here, but I want to zero in on this famine thing because that's the next big event. We're on our way to famine. The policies that we're adopting, things like turning our corn crop into motor fuel, is leading us to famine. This thing of creating genetically modified organisms in our soybeans, cotton, corn, wheat, is leading to famine. These policies are going to lead us to a no good end. Now, if you think that GMOs and Monsanto are the savior of the world, stick with the program. You're on the right track. If you're starting to have some second thoughts about that, pay attention, because this thing is leading to a no good end. First of all, God told you not to mingle your seed. That's in Leviticus 19:19. He told you, don't do that GMO trick. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean it's good. Now, we got nuclear weapons. We got the nuclear genie out of the jar. But, hey, kids, wait a minute. Do you know that Pakistan has 60 nuclear weapons? That Pakistan is on the verge of failed state status? And that the Taliban and Osama bin Laden are in the wings waiting to take over the reins of power in Pakistan? Now, can you think far enough ahead to figure out that if Osama bin Laden and the Taliban get control of Pakistan and 60 nuclear weapons, what do you think they're going to do with those 60 nukes, huh? Now, if you think that's headed towards some kind of a good end over here, you know, I think you're bordering on insanity here. I didn't make it this way. I'm just a reporter telling you, hey, are you paying attention to Brian Williams and Katie Couric? They're telling you what's going on around you over here. Wake up and smell the coffee now. It's not going to be long until they get control of Pakistan. Now, when they get control of Pakistan and they get them nukes over there, I don't think that's going to bode well for us, guys. You can sit there and say, well, watch what we do to them. Have you thought about what they're going to do to you first? Which is why I'm suggesting that maybe you might want to leave Houston, Los Angeles, and New York and New Orleans. Two big cities that I'd get the hell out of first is San Francisco and New Orleans. San Francisco and New Orleans. If I was living in downtown Sodom, I'd suggest, I think maybe we better get the hell out of here. And then, of course, Houston, Texas, you know that ship channel I mentioned to you last time, you know, 50% of the heavy industry of the nation. And you want to keep in mind that the Russians and the Chinese, you know, are still sitting over there in the wings. If you think the Russians and the Chinese are your buddies over there, I think you need to start rethinking that one. Those Chinese generals over there have been talking now for years and years, saying, we're just waiting and biding our time. Waiting and biding our time. When the time's right, we're going to strike. And you're over here buying your big screen TVs and your shoes from the guys that tell you we're biding our time until we strike. Okay, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success here, kids, but it doesn't sound good to me. Now he says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. And cursed shall be your basket and store, and cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, and the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. And cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. for to do until you be destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. He calls that wickedness and he says, now listen, I'm going to destroy you from off the land. That means here in America, we are going to be deported. At the end of this chapter, obviously, it tells you where he's going to deport you to. Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt, just to name a few. Russia, China, and all around the world. You know, the Illuminati, they have a plan. You know, the New World Order gang, you know, they got a plan here for North America. They want to turn it into a game preserve. They're going to turn it back over to the buffalo. I don't know if they're going to leave you Indians here to shoot buffalo in the process or not, or they're going to deport you to, and I don't know where. I'm just pointing out that that's what the game plan calls for. And that's what the policy is aimed at. That's why we're depopulating our little towns all over the Midwest. That's why the storefronts in the little towns in Kansas, Nebraska, North and South Dakota are boarded up. And they're shuffling you off to the city under the ninth plank to the Communist Manifesto, and the ultimate end is to kill you and the survivors to be deported. Now, I'm just here to tell you that's what the game plan calls for. And now you've got a God over here that says, that's just exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to use these guys to do it to you, and that's because you won't practice my law. Now, I'm not a preacher. I'm not here to preach Jesus and him crucified. I'm a businessman, and I'm here to tell you there's two models in the world when we come to business, two models. The Ten Commandment model, it's a business model, and you got the Ten Planks model. It comes from Babylonian mystery religion. You know, we got a choice to make, and we made it. The nations have made it. Now, I'm suggesting that some of us individuals over here, if we're dissatisfied now with the Ten Plank model, that we go back to what worked. Let's go back to practicing what makes money, what gives us the objective that we're all seeking. You know, people here in America, they want health care insurance. Excuse me, what's wrong with good health? Why in the hell do you want health care insurance? Don't you want good health? I mean, if you had good health, what in the hell do you need insurance for? You get good health from following the 18 health laws of the Bible. Did you know that? Now, I wouldn't argue with you. If you want to eat pig fat and blood, you need health insurance. I'm aware of that. Hell, I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind here. You know, if you're going to eat, if you're going to smoke and eat bad food, you know, well, yeah, I can see where you're probably going to need some health insurance. Now, it costs a lot of money to treat cancer, heart attack, and stroke, and so that's where the big bucks are, by the way, heart attack and cardiac care. And doctors make a lot of money off of that. That's why they promote it. That's why they sell it. But here in the Bible, God promises you good health. Wouldn't you like to have good health? Wouldn't you like to live to be an old man or an old lady without cancer, heart attack, and stroke? That's why I know it's a wild new concept, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. Because that's one of the benefits that you get here from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Then if you won't practice this law, then he says, here's what I'm going to do to you. Now the Eternal says, I'll smite you with the consumption and with a fever and with the inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword, that's war, and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Consumption, fever, inflammation, those are diseases. You want to know where these diseases are coming from? They're coming from God himself. And why? Well, it's just cause and effect. Watch this. You know, you smoke cigarettes, and it inflames your lungs until at some point in time it develops cancer and you die from lung cancer. Does everybody die from lung cancer? No. Does everybody that smoke die from lung cancer? No. Do more people that smoke die of lung cancer? Yep. You know, we're smart enough to figure that out. You know, we can count. And so they're telling you, and they're telling you correctly here, this is what the results are. So God comes along and he says, now listen, why don't you change your modus operandi here, and why don't you follow my statutes, judgments, and commandments and avoid that? You see, if everybody in America would practice the Ten Commandment model as it relates to health and health care, then we wouldn't have any disease, and without any disease, we wouldn't need a medical establishment. We wouldn't need any hospitals. Wouldn't need any doctors. Wouldn't need any health insurance. Now, we're spending $1 trillion a year. That's 1/14 of our gross domestic product on health care. Wouldn't it be better if we took that money, stuck it in our pocket, and went on a Carnival cruise? Or bought a new car? Or paid down the credit cards? Or did anything other than spend it on doctors and hospitals and health care? Then there's a certain amount, I don't know what the percentage is, a certain amount of it goes to health insurance. And now Barack Obama, your president now-elect, he says that he's going to give you national health care insurance, which is what all you people want. I don't want national health care insurance. I want good health. So I adopted the Ten Commandment model years ago, and I have not spent any money on health care insurance in over 25 years. Hell, probably longer than that. I stopped in 68, 78, 88, 98, 108, 40 years ago. Hell, I haven't paid any health insurance for 40 years. And I haven't needed any health insurance for 40 years, and I hope I could live another 40 years, and I don't think I'll need it again for the next 40. Meanwhile, I can stick that $10,000 a year on health care insurance into my pocket, and there go spend it on something I really want in life. And that's the difference between the Ten Commandment model and the Ten Planks model. Okay, that's just the way life is. Now, when it comes to making money, God, you know, says, I'll bless you when you come in. I'll bless you when you go out. I'll bless you in everything that you set your hand to do. I'm an old-timey contractor. Have you ever made a deal that you lost money on? I always tell people, I never lost any money on any deal I didn't make. I lost some money on a lot of deals I wish I hadn't made. God comes along and says, now follow my instructions, follow my statutes and judgments, and you won't lose any money on any deals. Now, I think that makes all the sense in the world. That's why I'm recommending this policy. Now, as we zero in on a plan for the future, you know, if you're thinking like I am, you know, well then, right away, then the job that we have over here at General Motors, the house that we have with the mortgage on it, the location that we're in Houston, Texas, so these things need to be changed. You know, let's start thinking about making some big changes here. It's called midlife crisis. They say you go through that when you're about 40 to 45, you go through this midlife crisis. Which now leads us up. Now, I'm not going to read all this to you. You can sit here and read the bad news for yourself. It's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. But I want to zero in here on a little section on cannibalism. Cannibalism. I've only got a couple of minutes here, but it's in verse 53. We're in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 53 through verse 58. And it talks about, we shall eat our own children. It's in, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given you, in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you. Our enemies will distress us. And as a result of that distress, that siege. Now, how's the siege? Now, in the old days, they had a siege. They would surround a city and cut off all of its supplies. Has it occurred to you that the Chinese, who now export so much, like our big screen TVs and shoes and garlic and many things, that if they were to cut that off, it would amount to a siege? Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? Now, that's what we're suffering from, is this thing called a siege. That's what the policies that we're following are leading to. And I would suggest that we start thinking about that and think about it right now. Now, I'm going to have to start wrapping it up here and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these law hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. Says our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.